Blog Talk Radio.
The blackness. Keep on.
Okay. I don't know what happened with that, but y'all know we cannot do the show unless we go do it right.
Do it the right way.
Yeah, bro.
We gotta do it the right way. So
who's tinkering behind the scenes here?
Hey, man. I don't even know.
All right.
I'm gonna say like this. Maybe it's somebody, man, that's just now logging in. You know what I'm saying? And it was just a way to slow them up an extra 40. So it ain't nothing but love.
Hey,
we got it.
Hey, like Men in Black. Here's the Flash.
Just two dope boys in a Cadillac.
Ha! Hey, welcome back to another edition of the Life Be Life and podcast. Back up on the scene. Now, I'm your host, Tony D.
And I'm your host, D to the J, back in the building like I ain't never left the business, man. How you feeling today?
Hey, man. So, live a couple of minutes past that situation.
Yeah.
That was actually kind of dope. When you kind of recap the song, as long as you keep your head to the sky, based on what we finna talk on tonight, man. Hey. Sometimes things just be happening, but Man, I'm straight, my boy. Like it's Wednesday. I got 2 days left to the weekend, baby. What about you, man?
Man, same way, man. So like, it's been a different kind of vibe, man. Like had a real mentally easing type of day. You know what I'm saying? And it allowed me to really work through some different things and come up with some plans and some processes, form some things that are help me individually, us as a unit, you know what I'm saying? Just a lot of things like that, man. So I ain't even going to act like I ain't blessed today, man. I'm popping. I got the ice jingle-langing. You know what I'm saying? Sound like I got about 14 gold necklaces in my glass. Look, you already know what it is. But look, we not even going to take that long, bro. If you want to jump into it. You tell me, because we got some lined up.
Make an announcement real quick, y'all.
Let's go.
Hey, so April 3rd, we're doing our 1-year anniversary show. So from the first show.
Hold on, bro. Slow that down, bro. Tell them again.
I said our 1-year anniversary show, my boy. Hey, from the first episode to 23 countries later, the guests we've had on, and we ain't done for the season yet, man. So we got some heavy hitters that's coming away. But check it out, the anniversary show, and we're gonna make sure we give this for the next month or so. We starting at 7:30. 7:30, we're gonna do a recap of the previous year. What I'm saying? 8:00. The topic is still standing. I guarantee.
Bang.
Hey, remember what T.O. used to say? Get your popcorn ready. Hey, man.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to say this, man. I'm going to say this, and we gonna get away from it. Look, if y'all missed season one, depending on when you picked up with us, became a lifer, I'm going to be honest. You need to go back. Listen to them episodes, one in particular, season one, I believe it was the third episode called Mental Health. I had the privilege to interview host Tony D. We learned some things that day, man, that honestly, all this time later, almost a year later, I still get text messages and calls, people saying it's bringing tears to their eyes. And so we did a lot of things in between, and it just wasn't the right time. And, Tony came and said, look, it's your time. We want to know your truth. It's time. So I'm gonna be honest. The stuff we talk about, hey, trust me, you do not want to miss it, man. That's all I'm gonna tell you. You better get it ready. That anniversary show is gonna be lit. It's gonna be some stuff that is going to rock people to the core. It's gonna make them think. It's gonna make them wow. It's gonna make them oh my god. It's gonna open some eyes. It's gonna make people get in their own closet and start to sweep. But hey, I got a whole bag of flashlights, my boy, and it's going down.
Let's get it. So, man, tonight's show.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and tell us about tonight's show, man.
So tonight's show, be the change you want to see. We often say either change the person or change the person. That's one of my favorite catchphrases. Right. You know what I'm saying? But people always ask me, what does that mean? To change the person or change the person.
Yep.
And we're going to break it down a little later, but with so many obstacles people have encountered, sometimes the light seems real dim. So looking out of the window, we might see a community struggling. You know, we've made different mistakes that on paper, it really should hinder us for a lifetime. And honestly, that is one way you can choose to look at it, or you can do like Life Be Life podcast is going to do. We're going to decide to be better. We're going to be the change that you're going to see. So tonight, they're going to speak on personal adversity, life lessons, and ultimately the decision to want more. So, hey, y'all better start tweeting, sending it out to text, everything under the sun, man. Y'all don't want to miss this tonight. It's going to be a gem, bro.
Yeah, and if you just happen to be streaming right now, call in live, 516-531-9473. You know, sometimes we get extra time, so we're going to hit these phone lines. Hey, but shoo, why we hesitating? Let me go ahead and press this button.
Yeah, let it go.
Yo, you are now rocking with the absolute best, the Life Be Life in podcast, your host, Tony D, D to the J, every single Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. We bring in the hottest topics. We bringing that hee-haw, that funny. We bringing a little bit of music. We giving you exactly what you know you need, so stop playing with us. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell your cousin, tell your mama that her favorite comedians, the best duo since Wings and Rants, is back in the building. Dial that number, 516-531-9473, blogtalkradio.com/ Life Be Life and Podcast. Let's get to it.
I put on for my city.
how we starting off tonight. You hear me? That's how we starting off tonight. Cause hey, yo, I swear, Jeezy was rapping for his life on this song. You hear me?
I feel like I have the strength of 1,000 kindergartners.
Hey.
Smooth off of Juicy Juice. Like,
hey.
Remember when Thanos got that last stone, my boy? Like, what? Come on, man. Stop playing, man. Let's go and do something.
Hey, I'm telling you, though. Like,
come on, man. We ain't got to We don't have time for the shenanigans, man. All
right, let's
and demonstrate
go, man.
Shenanigans.
Hey.
You tried to derail us.
Hey.
You
let's
tried
go.
To derail Let's go, man. Come on. I got time for you.
Hey, because you know we're going to keep it in. So check it out, y'all. The man we about to bring on the air, he's right here from the 314, right in the middle of the Ferguson area. I met this man, you know, unknowingly when I used to work for Bank of America. For one of my daughter's birthdays, we needed an Airbnb. You know how Airbnbs go. They don't want no parties. You know they don't really like us anyway. You know what I'm saying? So I decided to just keep it a buck. You know what I'm saying? With the Airbnb, I'm on the app. I reached out to the person. Like, I just told the truth. Look, my wife's going to be there. My daughter is an honor roll student, straight A. You know, hotel is going to be too small. They want to be able to cook and, you know, do their thing. And, you know, I work at Bank of America. So, you know, I got a good reputation. My wife is a lead teacher at a daycare right there in Ferguson. Left it at that. Sent. I get a call from work the next day. It was like, hey, come see Tony. And I was like, yeah. He was like, hey, this is Eric. I'm like, what's up, Eric? So he was like, yeah, you inquire about the Airbnb. He says, funny thing is, I know you.
Mm.
I was like, huh? He was like, yeah, man, you know, at the Bank of America in Baden, sat down with you. We talked about a lot of stuff. So right there, y'all, you got to be careful how you treat people because, you know, Baden is considered a downtrodden area. And here I am, an exploring black man in corporate America trying to put my name on. You know, in the cloud, then I could have treated him like, man, you ain't got nothing going on. But anyway, had a good conversation, man, and come to find out that this was this guy. So without further ado, I want to introduce to some, present to others.
Yeah.
Mr. Eric Wilson, owner of the ERG Gallery and countless other things. Come on, y'all. Let's give him a hand as he step on the air.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Thank you. Hey, Tony, I appreciate it. And BJ, thank y'all for having me.
Hey, man, like, you know, quiet is kept. I consider you kind of, you know, like a big dog in the Ferguson area, and we'll get to that. So I just wanted to let you know, man, that there are people that's passing by you that have never stopped in. But they know who you are. And that's a big accolade. You know what I'm saying?
That's big volumes right there.
Right.
Yeah, so
I appreciate it. So we right here in the middle, we actually the gallery is actually located in Dellwood.
Okay.
But we are on West Florissant, right up the street from where all the Ferguson act, you know, and so we right here. But I just we right in Dellwood, right? At West Florissant at Hudson, 10438 West Florissant.
Hey, thank you for that clarification, because I didn't got pulled over in that area before, and it was definitely there when somebody was lying.
You got to be careful. Got to be careful.
So, with the topic tonight, man, be the change that you want to see. I know we've had, you know, a few conversations, and things starting to kind of come together for you, but I've come to the understanding that everything wasn't always together, man. So kind of like teenage years, man, you know, because growing up is growing up. And if you want to go there, you can. But I really want to start on your biggest years of influence, because you're a hell of a painter. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me.
Right.
No. My bad. You're a hell of a
painter. Nah, you got to call that what it is, bro. That we're going to let that. That's fair ball. Nah, that's
fair ball.
So
we're going to say we're creative.
That's inbound.
I can work with that. So
let's go with creative. I want to go with creative.
Bet. Creator. So from teenage years, man, and kind of take us through, like, let's just say 12, 13, because that's kind of when we really get out to explore the world. Tell me, what was Eric up to and what led him, like, to the next chapter in his life?
Okay, so I will have to be honest and say that art was a God-given talent. Long before I was 12 or 13, my father and my parents had acknowledged that I had this talent. And they were very, very diligent about cultivating that talent. And so when my parents used to take us out of town, my father would always encourage me to draw monuments. He was adamant about us seeing all 50 states. So every time he took us to a different place, he would always urge us to, or encourage me to draw monuments. And I remember one time in New York specifically when I drew the Statue of Liberty, and he was just so excited about it. At that, I believe at that point he knew, like, I could really do something with the talent. But this young, you know, and I had my mind on other things. I'm from the North Side, Kings Highway, and Sackler, right in the Mark Twain and the Waldo Park area. So if I fast forward to 12 or 13, I ain't thinking about no art. I'm creative in my own mind, but I ain't thinking about no art. I'm trying to get outside.
Yeah.
Really. And so 12 or 13 on the North Side, man, I'm immediately, you know, out in the streets. And not even that I had to be. I just feel like it was just, this is where I live. These were my friends. I actually was blessed to have both parents in the house. Both of them were very responsible. Both of them were very influential in my life. But I chose my path, I would say. And I knew that early. And so, like 12, 13, like I said, I'm still in school. I'm doing my thing. That was early on, like with the DCA program and all that, where they shipped us out. So I went out to Pattonville. And once I got out to Pattonville, man, it just, things got different for real. You know, it was a lot of opportunities out there that we didn't really have knowledge of. Coming from the North Side, we were able to meet a lot of people, do a lot of things. I played football. I was blessed to get honorable mention, that sort of thing. And Pattonville was great for us. It opened up a lot of opportunities, especially coming from the North Side. And I was blessed to meet a whole lot of people that even to this day are still a phone call away. And so it was a great opportunity coming from the North Side to be able to go out to Pattonville and meet some new people and some new experiences and all of that. You know, so I enjoyed that. I was able to graduate there. But immediately after high school, just with some of the people that I met and some of the friends, that's when I would say the real adversities started because of the decisions that I chose to make. Immediately after high school, I'm traveling the United States. I'm back and forth to Atlanta. You know, so it was the ATL-STL connection.
Yep.
So right fresh out of high school, I'm a full-fledged entrepreneur, I would say.
Yeah, you're getting it.
I got introduced to real estate and, you know, all kinds of other things. But as a result of those things, I mean, I made some huge mistakes during that time, but none of them caused me to be locked up or no stuff like that. So I had a nice entrepreneurial run as a young guy on the North Side and made it through high school. I was able to graduate and all of that. It was later, around my late 20s, when I really got in trouble and was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison.
Oh, man.
Now, during that time is when I would say that I was having my first daughter as I was entering federal prison about to do a 10-year sentence, and she was one. And then my second daughter was born just as I was leaving. So I'm knowing that I'm just starting my sentence, and they – just being born. So it was difficult for me. I took that really hard, but it was something that I ain't had no choice in the matter. I got to go do what I got to do. That was the attitude that I had then. I ain't had no choice, you know, and so I just had to make the best out of it. And so during that time is when I feel like a lot of things changed for me. It was hell. It was hell, man, you know, and especially in the position that I was in, because I was affiliated with, you know, some very well-known guys and all of that stuff. And so it made it difficult to kind of separate myself from the things, especially when you're still in prison.
Yeah.
During that time, I just think that when I started seeing the disappointment in my daughters, the disappointment in my mother, the disappointment in my family and all of that, I just decided in prison that I wasn't just going to go through it, I was going to grow through it. And so I immediately jumped into college. I still had a couple of dollars, so I jumped into college. I got electrical apprenticeships, HVAC apprenticeships, Department of Labor. I got about 12,000 hours in electrical in there. So, I don't even discuss this much, but I honestly was a recipient of, like, the best, the most reformed prisoner, you know. Gave me an award and had an award ceremony and all that. But I say all that to say that I was watching my peers during that time, and these guys that I was running the streets with, and we was claiming this and doing this, you know, we just like sitting around watching BET and, you know, just wasting our time. And I had just made a decision early on, like, nah, this ain't, I don't want this for me or my family or, you know, nobody. And so I believe that I kind of planted a seed in myself then.
Yeah.
And so I got out like 2012. I had to do the full 10-year sentence.
Wow.
I got out. I was married at the time. Unfortunately, my first marriage didn't work out. It took me a little while to get off papers, and it took me a little while to get out of my first marriage. But then I don't want to take up all the time, so I'm kind of moving along.
No, this is about you, man.
Okay, so I got out. I was married.
You know what,
I ended up having to get a divorce.
Before you move on,
okay,
I want to say this.
Yeah.
So if anybody who's ever met this guy in person, like, see him. So I didn't know he did time until, 48 hours ago? Because...
yeah.
I look at how he moved, man. You know, remember the story that I told in the beginning? This man owned an Airbnb. He was just getting the gallery up and running, and he had other stuff going on.
Yeah.
But he looked like me. You know, I was like, yo, like,
he's doing
his thing. So, so we having this show, man, just by looking at somebody, you don't know the hell that caused the growth. If they wanted to grow, you know what I'm saying, in a situation. I have to say that, E-Man, just because, you were up elbows with Elite. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm going to let you tell that, man. So I'm going to toss it back to you. So you get now, you know, got divorced.
Real quick before you pick everything up. So I want you to emphasize one fact, because I don't want to gloss over this, because so many people are out here running wild. You know, you represent St. Louis, and you know every single day there's something on the news. Somebody has lost their life, some type of violence, all these different things, man. And so I think a lot of people are really, for whatever reasons, they ended up getting in the situation, and they're just waiting to be sentenced. I want you to really drive home an emotion for me, for our listeners, for the lifers. So you in court, you've been convicted, and today is sentence time. They ask everybody to stand while it gets read. When the judge announces a 10-year bid, I want you to, as best as you can, articulate your feelings, because I want every listener that is thinking about touching the streets, possibly in the streets, possibly doing organized crime, whatever it looks like, anything that's going to land them in a situation where they're away from their family, away from their wife, I want you to convey that feeling when you heard those words come out of his lips. And then I also want you to speak on how long did it take in there before this is, it became a reality. It set in like, dag, like I'm legit not going nowhere.
Man. Okay, so to start from the courtroom. And so I'm gonna tell you guys something. And Tony D, I'm gonna kinda touch on you saying like he looked like a regular guy. The reason why I wanna start there is because I'm not a regular guy by no means.
Yeah.
I know that, and I've always been a part of a situation where it was like I never wanted to glorify the situation, and I always wanted to almost kind of keep it a secret for real.
Yeah.
And so in hindsight, you have to understand a guy like me going to prison, coming home, and then even my guys and my friends and all of that, even to have like a TV show talking about these things, you know, so it was a heavy transition for me. And so like, even now when I talk to young people, I make it clear, like when the judge said 10 to life and he said, I got to do 10 years. And even if you read my PSI and it says, my mom said, can she give me a hug? And the judge said, no, remand the prison.
Oh my God.
Wow.
You know, and so at that point, ain't no going backwards. You know what I mean? And so I would like to try to start prior to that if I was going to give somebody a message. Because at that point,
yeah,
you
got to
go do what you got to do.
Come on with
at that point, you got to go do what you got to do.
We,
so that's
even though the
score
is an hour, we set up an hour and a half. So if we run a little bit over, man, we got that time.
And if we need to run it back, we're going to do that too.
Bet.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, I just want to be honest. And I'm giving you guys some things that I don't really give away. I don't even really discuss
that,
because it's current life. Like, I still got friends that's, you know, in trouble. And so we don't even discuss what's going on. For real.
But I think it's important
at
that you
same
know,
time,
it's important.
Well, what I want to say is, be the change that you want to be is more than just a slogan for me, because people that really know me know what's really going on with me. They know my life. They know who I've been around and been affiliated with. And they also know that the objective for me for a very long time has been to be the change that I want to, that I convey in my messages.
Yeah.
And so from that moment of having to leave my family, knowing that it's 2002 and I ain't coming home to 2012, man, you know, that's inexplainable. But what I do know is this: no amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of anything is worth a decade in prison away from your family.
Bars.
And that's just a universal message, period.
Yeah. I like that. That's bars.
Yeah.
That's bars.
But I will say this, from a biblical perspective, my footsteps was ordered. I did what they said I did. I accepted responsibility for what I did. I slept okay in there because I had done what they said I did, and I just had to do now what I accepted.
Right.
And so it wasn't so bad for me because I wasn't fighting saying I didn't do it. I did.
Right.
And I'm finna go do this. And
gotcha.
So even in there, it was accepted from my peers that, man, I did this. This is a result of it. But I don't want to do this like this no more. I'm on something else. We're going to school. We're getting a degree. We're going to at least experience the second part of our kids' lives.
Yeah.
And so I had an enormous support system. My sister, my mother, my children's mother at the time, my family. You know, and that's important. That's really important. It's like, so like experience and love makes a difference.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Having a praying mother makes a difference.
Better talk.
Yeah. And so all these factors, I would not be doing a service if I didn't say that they all contributed to me and being blessed. And so those things made me directly responsible for not letting these people down. And so on top of that, my father gets sick. I'm out. I'm off papers.
Hey, wait. You know what? Hold that thought.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break.
Yep.
We're going to transition to you getting out. And, you know, we're gonna run it from there. That's cool?
Okay.
All right, bet. So everybody get your breathe.
Hold on.
Hey, because I ain't had a drink in like 15 minutes. You hear me? Because I've been glued.
I've been glued, too, with this ice been jingling.
Hey, nah, I ain't jingling nothing. You know what I'm saying? But, all right, know what, y'all? Here we go.
Only God can judge. Is that right? Nobody else. All you other motherfuckers, get out of my business.
Perhaps I was blind to the facts. Stabbed in the back, I couldn't trust my own homies. Just a bunch of dirty rats. Well, I succeed, paranoid from the weed. And hope it's supposed to try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is all behind me. Is it a crime to fight for what is mine? Everybody gone, tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped at work, cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family in the earth. And they say it's the white man I severe. But it's my own kind doing all the killing here. I can't lie, ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside, make them wish to die. Oh my lord, tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. In all my memories, I'm seeing brothers bleed. And everybody grieves, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't get caught up in the mix. Cause the media's full of dirty tricks. Only God can judge me. Can make it, got a body full of bullet holes, laying here naked till I can't breathe. Something's evil in my IV, cause every time I breathe, I think they're killing me. I'm having nightmares, homicidal fantasies. I wake up strangling, dangling my bed sheets. I call a nurse cause it hurts to reminisce. How did it come to this? I wish they didn't miss. Somebody help me, tell me where to go from here. Cause even thugs cry, but do the Lord care? Trying to remember, but it hurts. And I'll fake, it's a lifetime I hate. Dear mama, can you save me? And peace, cause the street got our way, babe. We gotta eat, no more hesitation. Each and every black male strap. And they wonder why we suicidal, running round strap. Mr. Police, please try to see it. It's a million more stresses just like me. Only God can judge me.
Yeah, we about to slide back up in the area, man. That's my jam, too.
Welcome back.
I told y'all I was going to put on the Ali gloves tonight, boy. Floating like a butterfly, oh, thinking like me.
You told him, man.
I told you, man. So, and the crazy thing about this, like the music had already been pre-picked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And the vibe.
And how the story and the vibe is just like, jailing.
Man.
Hey, man,
I told you. I told you it was a vibe for you, man.
Nothing is by circumstance, man. I don't care what nobody say.
Hey,
I don't care.
God, I'm with you on that.
I don't care what it is, man. Everything we've been doing, everything that we've been fortunate enough to come across, everybody we've been blessed with meeting, every story we've been fortunate with. You hear me? This is another person who's saying, I ain't never done this, y'all. Man, that right there is a blessing that somebody is entrusting us with something that's so precious to their heart and that's impacted their life, man. And for me, that is inspiring. It's encouraging. It's reassuring to keep doing what you're doing. A lot of times, you know, people, well, look, we all got different paths and this, that, and the third, man. And sometimes people will try to tell you that you're not going where you once thought you was because of past situations and decisions. But, man, God still be talking to folks, man, and dealing with people. And the very things we talking about, the topics, the people, everything is just a part of that plan, man. So I just wanted to plug that in real quick because they must have.
I'm like, yo, when you get on the podcast, man, I'm like, it's a vibe. Like, it's like, you know, we talking, we got a guest. The guest is filling us in on their life, man. And, but this Eric show tonight, man. So let me back up. So you just got out. Dad is sick, man. And you go ahead and take it from there.
Okay. So, only God can judge me now. That's all I can think about.
Hey,
that was befitting. Only God could judge me now. I actually got out in late 2013. So I went straight to work. I've been I'm a contractor and an artist. Currently, I own ERG Gallery, and that's the gallery. But I'm also a contractor. So when I first got out, I went straight to contracting, rebuilding homes, rehabbing, all that sort of thing, and. Having the God-given talent of art and being a contractor together is what birthed ERG Gallery later. Well, I had to move around and do a whole lot of just settling for real from having been gone so long, selling different properties and rehabbing different things, working. I did some very, very meaningful projects during that time. It wasn't just whatever came about. We did some real meaningful projects. We worked with a lot of really significant organizations, and we were able to capture the interest of a lot of youth during that time. And so it was already in my mind that when I got, I would always say myself in the position that I would start working with youth. But it just took a while for me to work on me before I was able to, in my personal opinion, give to someone else, especially fresh out. So it took me about 4 or 5 years of getting out, getting off papers, kind of juggling my life, making some mistakes, and those sorts of things. Now, one thing that was consistent ever since I got out was, man, I ain't going to do nothing that's going to send me back to prison, period. I'm going to find me a way to make it. I ain't going back and sit in that box. That was just stagnated time. I know I made a lot of connections in there. I know I made a lot of, I got a lot of work done because it was only because I had a few dollars that I was able to get certifications and degree. Well, my associate degree and stuff like that. But without having family and those sorts of things, it's almost next to impossible to get those things done. And so I'm out. I'm working on properties, building, doing community work with the youth, and my father gets sick. That was the next monumental thing. And he had always been saying to me, you got to use your talent. You got to use your talent. But one thing stuck out. He said to me, there's going to come a time where you have to answer to God to what did you do with what he gave you.
Yep.
And
did you bury him? Daddy spit facts on me. He told you absolute bars. Yeah.
He told me absolute bars on that. And so I made a promise to him. I actually sat by his bedside and I watched his decline and in his untimely death, I basically made a promise to him that I was going to utilize my talent as an artist in other ways, because I had always camouflaged the fact that I was using my artistic ability in my constructing. I would always say, I'm using it, Dad, I'm using it. I'm being eclectic in my building, in my construction, and that was true. It's just that that wasn't it for me yet. I just hadn't done it. It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And so with the promise that I made to him, I pursued opening an art gallery, and that's when I came to North County and I found out that we hadn't had any. So that gave me an opportunity to open the first of. And so I was able to successfully get the first Black-owned art gallery in North County, and that was amazing for me. And so through that is where I learned, after I lost my father. Now, that's what I would always urge young people, to try to get these dreams and things that you and your family discuss, or even, you know, little attributes that they pass on to you or that they try to teach you. Try to get those things from them or with them while they still here. I waited till my father passed, and I made that promise to him, and so I was able to get the art gallery open. And even still with the art gallery, I spent so much of my life with the talent that all I was concentrating on was money, money, money. And I didn't know a way to monetize art. And so that's why I feel like it always stayed on the back burner, because I couldn't think of a way to monetize it. I didn't know how I could get money with art. I always kept it as a hobby, I would say.
Yeah. That's wild.
And so once I was able to get the art gallery open, I was blessed with an enormous amount of support from the community, but also with the support of the community monetarily, it was a lot of support socially. And a lot of people started to come around just to enjoy the art. And we had built a mantra around the fact that when people take pride in what they're doing and be creative, everybody could be an artist in their own respect. And so that narrative was a way that I could bring together my artist community, my construction community. I had a cannabis business at one time, bring together that community. And that was just one thing that I felt was like the glue. The fact that when you take pride in what you do and you be creative, you are an artist. And we stuck with that. And so once I got the art gallery open, I had actually never discussed, and I'm going to get to the story with the proclamation, I had never really discussed the date that I had gotten out of prison. But I had made that the date of the gallery opening. And so at my one-year anniversary, I was going to reveal to my wife that was my 10-year date of being out. Well, once I revealed that to her, she revealed to me that I was receiving a proclamation on that same date from Delwood for community service. And
wow.
So that turns out to be a double special day. Yeah.
Yeah, I see
that. That was cool.
Hanging up in the fray. I believe last time I was there,
yeah.
The front door, it was over to the right.
Yeah, I'm proud of that, man, because that's like from an indictment to a proclamation in my life story. And like I said, it wasn't that opening the gallery was so made so much monetary sense. It's just that the social benefits of it started to supersede that. And then that's how I feel like, you know, just as my story of how you come to know what your purpose is. It's like I had always attributed to just be a hobby because I didn't know how to make money for it. But when I was able to change my focus from money to just edification, like to just doing good, that is when I started to get the most fulfillment out of it. And then by the grace of God, the money started coming after, you know, but it was heart feeling work. And that's how come I say we do heart work. At ERG Gallery, we do hard work. Not
so,
just hard work, we do hard work.
Yeah, I like that.
Let me ask you this, man. So, because we got a few minutes to spare, Based on where you are right now, at this point in time, you know, you've made so many moves, you've experienced so much. What's next for you?
Man, a hard reset. So this is where it's interesting, because teaching is actually learning. And so my life was filled with a whole lot of bumps and bruises. And so I graduated magna cum laude of messing up. And that made me qualified to tell my story and to be able to teach people how to, from the perspective of how not to.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, at this point in my life, I'm only going back to what my mother and father told me 40 years ago. For real, I'm just back to the basics of things that my mama told me then. If I had to listen to them then, I would have had a way more fruitful life. And you know, I just mean that with the most respect. But I'm just at a point now where I'm starting over with the patience that I learned years ago. And so that's the new life. That's the new mission for me, for real. And so reiterating to young people and teaching and opening my space and the things that I'm doing to someone is just learning experiences for me. Because then, you know, it's a new day, man. It's like men in general currently have to be very careful about the disconnect, because a lot of the attributes of a man, a lot of the attributes of a father are discipline and diligence and those sorts of things. And those tend to not be so fun. And so in order to maintain that and still be kind of cool, you know, and demand presence, you know, you gotta be a little flexible. And so just like you said, I kind of look like one of those big guys, but you know, I'm a little flexible. I learn how to communicate. I got young kids. I got daughters, so I have to be relatable to them as best as I can. They still say I'm uncool, but I try. You know, to be able to relate to the young people, because I can't convey a message to them if they're not listening to me. And so my space is open, and we have an Amen group. We got a articulating, mentoring, educating, and networking. That's Amen. We have a group, and it's open every Sunday. And so I'm only what I wish I had for me then. And so my space is open for young people to come in. We try our best to facilitate whatever they need in the manner of getting things done, in the matter of resources, sometimes just really having the opportunity to sit down and talk. I'm mindful that it takes a village, because I got my own struggles with my own. So I want to have people around in place for them to talk to. And so I bless as many people as I can bless, because I need to be, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's where I feel like the reciprocation comes in at.
Man, that is crazy. I mean, it just doing everything that you're doing, you know, been through it. You know, I'm a big fan.
Oh, man, one more thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
One more thing I got to add. Man, making my beautiful wife happy. That's another thing at this point.
Hey, that goes without
saying.
We already know
that's
that.
That's another thing at this point, because, I mean, like, I haven't mentioned her, but just, like, the grounding and the ability to be able to go out and fight the world daily, you know, kind of came from, you know, especially a guy coming from a background like mine where I never thought that I could find a space to be monogamous in. I never thought that I could find a space to just settle down and all of that. I came from a gang. You know, they writing stories and putting out movies about the things we did, freaking and all that old stuff. You know what I mean? But sometimes you can do something to the maximum to where you sick of it. You know what I mean? And then that's when you can really enjoy the real fruits of life. And I would say, like, along my journey of trying to be the change that I feel people should be, or that, you know, the message that I'm conveying, it came with being honest with myself. And with being honest with yourself requires you to at some point in your life not have iniquity, not have all these things, not be waiting on a bag or not be having a girl somewhere waiting on you to get there. You got a lot of, you know, at some point you have to spend a little time with a clear mind, you know?
Yeah.
And I just want to add that because I had a lot of time with a lot of chaos in my mind, a lot of this, a lot of that. But during that journey, I was able to witness what peace and love and all those sorts of things look like and feel like. And sometimes when you can find those spaces, it's easier for you to grow.
Man.
Yeah.
So before I get
That's
ready.
That's important, man. That's important.
Man, very important. Before we get ready to wrap up with you, Manny, and get your final thoughts, so I'm a big believer in divine appointments, and I understand that sometimes God can detour our lives. So once we hit a certain spot, that person who needed to be there is there to get you to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes like it could have been a meeting, someone introduced you to someone, and all of a sudden, a door that you never fathomed being open. It was just this right now. That person may have been in town only a day or hopping on a flight later, but that brief period in time and you showing up allowed another door to be opened immediately. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So your final thoughts tonight, man. So I know we've talked about a lot, and if you had 2 minutes just to kind of tell people like, hey, you know, your choices you can overcome. This is what you can be if you put your mind to it. You got a talent and you are somebody. How would you convey that?
I would say to a young person, if I just had a couple of minutes, I would just say that through my experience, people have to be true to themselves. And that is the message that I think is most important, because it is inevitable that you're going to go through things. It's inevitable that you're going to have trials and tribulations. And just in my personal opinion, from those are the things that are going to be more meaningful in your life. And so sometimes you have to approach those obstacles with a different attitude, because it's going to happen. But those are things that's going to make, you know, lasting impressions on your life. And so for me and my experience, I didn't choose the path, in my personal opinion, but I knew that based on what I had done, I had to go and finish my work. I had to go and pay for the things that I had done. And so I would say to young people, man, a lot of the things that we got going on out here in these streets are not worth the consequences. My father used to give me he at one time gave me a definition, and it was a pyrrhic. It was, I may be saying it wrong, but it was an odd word, and it was spelled funny to me. It was P-H-R-R-I-C, and it was a victory. It was called pyrrhic victory. And he would always say that sometimes there are victories won, but they come at too great of a cost, you know. And so what I would say is that be mindful of the things that you participate in. Be mindful of the things that you're doing. Be mindful of the consequences of your actions, because sometimes victories, whether won or lost, come at too great of a cost. And so that would be my main – that would be my main point to drive home to young people. Like, be mindful of the decisions that you're making. Be mindful of the things that you participate in. Know what the consequences of those things are. And when you have people that, you know, love you and are responsible for you and all that, young, you don't realize it, but as you get older, you don't want to disappoint those people and yourself. And so that would be my message to anybody in these right now.
We appreciate you, man. We appreciate once again just the honor of you being able to kind of talk through your situation with us for the first time. a lot of things were, you know, divulged for the first time. We just appreciate, you know, you trusting us. Just for it to be what it be. You know, tonight was about you. This was your story. And I know a lot of times that when we go through things, being able to talk it out also helps us heal and helps us grow. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that.
Hey, so this is for you tonight, man. A lot of times, you know, black men refuse to be vulnerable. And we appreciate you to invite us in your vulnerable place tonight. And you'll be hearing from us, you know, soon. We're going to meet up soon just to kind of chop it up. We're going to give our soapbox tonight, which is kind of our recap. You know, we're going to get up out of here as soon as it archives. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, tag you in it and put it on your page so, you know what to go to look for. And you can also download it for your safekeeping, okay?
Okay, I appreciate you, and thanks for having me. And as soon as you guys can, come visit the gallery. And for all your listeners, please visit my website, www.erg.gallery, and take a look at some of the amazing art.
Yes, sir. In case somebody was chewing loud and they didn't hear you, run that back to them again.
ERG Gallery is at www.erg.gallery, and that's on the World Wide Web. You can get us on Facebook, on Instagram, at ERG Gallery. We located in Dellwood, St. Louis, West Florissant, 10438 West Florissant.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, bro,
thank
man.
Thank y'all
so
for having me.
You want to go first or you want me to go first? No, I went first last time. You go ahead.
I go first. I don't have much. I'm going to start by saying this. One, there were so many gems that Eric's dad dropped over the course of his life. And
yeah.
One thing, man, I wanna give a shout out to his dad for laying such a strong foundation, right? So real quick, just wanna clap that up for Eric's dad. And I say that because there was a few things that he mentioned over the course of the show. He talked about his dad telling him to cultivate his talents. He even taught him, you know, as far as using his talents, which to me was an extreme form of irony, because this is Eric's natural father who's telling him, and actually the one who gave him these talents. It was direct from his DNA, and he's telling him, you're not using your gifts, you're using your talents. And then when you look from a biblical perspective, we all know the story of God gave some five, he gave some, you know, we know all of that, but he was displeased with the one person he gave one talent to, who in turn decided to bury it, never utilize it, and then when it was time, return that one to him. You never worked that talent. So I found that very interesting, that his physical father was speaking on such a spiritual level. The other thing he said at the tail end, man, is he talked about Pyrrhic victory that his dad mentioned. And so for lifers, this word is so dope, man. If you really not hip to, I guess I'm kind of like a geek or a nerd when it comes to a lot of different things. But yeah, like he said, it was a victory that comes with a cost that was so great. And it came from a cat, Pyrrhus, man, who was the king of Ephesus, right? And so my man's was dope. Like, yeah, he defeated all of the Romans, but he lost so many of his troops that he became the face of this horrible phrase. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You that won the victory, lost the war type of, or battle, but lost the war type of mindset. Like, you lost so much. But so shout out to the dad. To summarize everything, man, I feel like if you listen, you'll be able to teach better. And in that teaching, you're able to keep learning. Just some things that he said, you know, we listen so that we can teach people better. And by teaching people better, we're able to keep learning. Work what you give and don't focus on what you don't have. Your gifts, your talents. A lot of times these young boys, young women, regardless of the age, even older, we so focused on things that we don't have that we're willing to put ourselves in the position and jeopardize some very crucial things such as life, livelihood, family, so on and so forth. And if we would spend more time focusing on the things that God gave us, the talents that our parents imparted in us, I don't really think we have to turn to the streets like that, bro. So teach life, you know what I'm saying? Teach self improvement, self-betterment over teaching these kids how to be cool and teaching them about sports. Let's teach them how to win life. Teach them how to take their talents that we know we see them with and how to bottle that thing up, man, and monetize it, which was something that Eric said he wasn't even familiar with doing. So let's teach our kids, man, something other than how to shoot, you know what I'm saying, a jump shot and turn around like Curry, because where that all was going to get us. So that's my soapbox, bro. D to the J, sliding off ice, still jingling, baby, like LL said. Get it.
Yeah, so, you know, my cup empty, so it's time to go. But I'm going to say this, man. I know in our communities, in our neighborhoods, on the block, you know, there's something we can always complain about. There's something that's, you know, always happening. When you become the change that you want to see, that means you set the example. When I was pastoring, man, and, you know, social pastoring, youth pastoring, one of the biggest things that, you know, as we were, you know, kingdom people, is that it's just like in England. If the king of England sent someone over to America with his staff, England is now in America. You know what I'm saying? So when we become the change that we want to see, there's a lot of times in our workplaces, in our personal lives, there are arguments that we could have, but sometimes you're like, you know what, it's not even worth it. There are some things that we can do in life, man, and as Eric said, hey, sometimes it's not even worth it. This gentleman that we had on today is an exception to the rule, because unfortunately, a lot of people who go through that, they don't have the outcome that he has, because it's all about a mindset. You know what I'm saying? So, again, we're going to applaud Eric, man. Let's give him another one. Hey, we just appreciate the authenticity tonight, man, and just being able to sit back and take us on that ride. But like we always say, man, we are here every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Always the number is 516-531-9473. Do not forget the anniversary show at 7:30 p.m.
True, but next week, bro, we got a gym for him too. So, lifers, real quick, back on March 6th, we brought y'all a guest, Miss Katie. We dropped that episode, Family Secrets Part 2, Some Secrets Need Not to Be Kept. Hey, she's coming back next week. We're going to expand on a few things because she talked about a whole lot, bro. But one thing we always want to make sure we do is we want to give people hope on how to get out their situation. So we can tell you the situation that people was in all day of the week. You know what I mean? We can tell you how they got there. Yeah. But it's only a select few that can give you that experience on how to get out. And once again, similar to tonight, but she going to expand on it part two. Lifers, don't be shocked if y'all look up and y'all don't see Eric Wilson coming back for his part two. Man, because we trying to do some things, man. And if y'all rock with us and support us, y'all really going to see what it is.
You know it. You know why, bro?
Why that, bro? Because life
will keep on lifing.
And what?
And
we're
going to be here to talk about it.
Yeah,
hey, I'm your host, Tony D.
And I'm your host, D to the J. Cool like the summer breeze. I'm still in the building, bro. Tell them what it is. Take us home, man.
You?